Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Reno's in. This hour brought to you by Battleborn Inquiry Lawyers. Offices in Reno, downtown Vegas, Vegas, and Henderson. Call from anywhere in the state of Nevada, 766-1400. 775, dial it in the north. Do you have any problem calling attorneys? If you have an issue, like, are you hesitant?
To call an attorney?
Yeah.
Depends on the attorney.
Okay, well, call Justin.
Yeah.
Or Matt.
Yeah.
Adam Hill is pulling the... He's the ultimate martyr on this show. He's got an issue with a rental car.
Yeah.
Someone hit him in a rental car. And then between the rental car company and the person who hit him, they're giving him the runaround. And I'm like, we've had Justin and his firm on the show for 12 years. Call him. Oh, I don't know. I don't want to bother him.
Like,
he
tells us to call him. You mean he's squeamish about it? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I have no hesitance. Well, here's the thing. Getting help and things going forward smoothly is like completely against his DNA.
Well,
he wants this.
I mean,
he thrives on this.
He's got this form here that has his name on it that's not even filled out sitting on the table.
Well, I don't think people realize, which sounds strange, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That Cofield and Company is not in studio outside of like 4 days a month.
Right.
Adam Hill is not on the show more than like 5 days a month. So you see how this is kind of he's never coming in ever again. He'll never be here.
The odds are, yeah, you'll never see him.
It's never going to happen. All right, big four time.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
Okay. Jared, during the break, was just talking about a story that's coming up later on where he wanted to get you worked up.
Yeah.
I want to get both of you worked up, but I don't know if this is going to work. I'm putting together a couple stories here.
Sure.
One, Jared is the Lotus voice of the front row card show, right? He does it all the time. He must be a collectibles nerd. You are on this campaign saying fake. So you want to explain this to Jared and see if you get them all rankled?
I just don't understand how they can prove that any of this stuff's real. First of all, Babe Ruth, I mean, that was like 400 years ago. So how would they even know the chain of custody with this jersey? Who actually wore it? I mean, I could just...
What was the jersey and how much did it go for?
A $24 million jersey that he wore with the Yankees back in the day. Yeah. And it's like... It was the one that he, you know, the called shot, which the video, kind of like almost points or whatever. But the supposed, the supposed called shot, which looks kind of fake.
No one can see that. I picked my nose and pointed to the outfield.
He just flicked it. Yeah.
Flicked it.
So
he called the shot.
I mean, if you give me a pen right now, I could just be like, oh, Babe Ruth signed this paper for Adam right here. Yeah, Babe Ruth. I mean, how would anybody know? Like, that's all. That's all I'm saying.
Issues of authenticity. You better hit a home run here because we still want to go to the front row card show and be believers.
Well, so... I will say I am kind of I'm a collectible nerd, but I mostly deal in like cards and signed memorabilia. This is a whole different level. This is you have to take a sample of the fabric and get it sent to a lab to make sure that it's tested correctly. You have to get a photo match.
Yeah,
you know, see?
But it looks super clean, like it'd been laundered. Who's going to launder a $24 million
jersey? From what I understand, that's like somebody laundered it.
That's what it looks like.
Somebody laundered it. Also, how dirty do you think it was? I thought the whole reason Babe Ruth was hitting home runs is because he didn't want to have to run the bases.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
I think he's projecting his food issues onto the Babes.
You think that's
just
what it
because
is?
You can't eat tandoori chicken without spilling it all over yourself. During
yeah.
So don't assume that
you're telling me he didn't have a hot dog roll down his shirt at some point while he was sitting in the dugout or whatever. Or?
He's the best ever.
All right. If you say so, man. How do you know if an autograph's real?
There is an entire industry that is their whole job is to find a have a guy sign the thing with their signature, and then you send them, hey, I have this signed, and then they compare it one-to-one as, okay, that
Yeah, but guys get off all the time on murder because they can't prove it's the same. Did you ever see that thing with that Durst where his handwriting looked exactly the same on both envelopes? Like, yeah, we're not sure. It looked exactly the same. Like, there's no way that it was different at all. Like, how would you know?
Then those lawyers should have gone to the collectibles community instead of going to a handwriting specialist.
Yeah.
Should the standard of authenticity be the same for a $24 million jersey, and you're suggesting, as getting someone on a murder rap?
I'm saying that it should be just as strenuous. I mean, it should be, you know.
Maybe you're right. Yeah, maybe you're right.
If an autograph's going for, I don't know, 300 grand, some of these things go for ridiculous amounts of money, wouldn't you want to know exactly who it came from? I would. I don't know how you can tell.
Well, but also... obviously, that if that is that jersey, it belongs in a museum. It doesn't shouldn't
right.
be bought by anyone.
Yeah, I'd still take it. I'm not Indiana Jones. I'm still getting the money.
Number three.
All right, we're going to do pictures for radio again. Everyone can go to ESPN Las Vegas, go back a couple of posts. We posted, and I hope you do this too so you can see. We posted a picture of the Commanders are selling nachos for $30. It's in the rundown. And we looked through it, and we're like, okay, what is in this? I mean, $30 for nachos is a lot. I mean, when you're at a game, you're like, okay, if it's a little bit more. Like, I think 20 is fair. 30 seems high. Then we came up with a question, like, what kind of meat has to be in this? And we were suggested, like, it should be like a surf and turf. Like, it should be like a filet and some shrimp. Then Willie missed the point and was like, I don't like seafood. Okay, whatever. Whatever you like. Okay. But it should be some really good meat, right?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it should be a lot of things in there for $30. But you know what, though? When you go to T-Mobile and you pay $18 for a beer, all this stuff kind of looks like whatever at this point. I mean, I don't know.
$30 for nachos.
That's a lot, but I mean, I'd rather have nachos than one beer.
So then I think the best part of that block yesterday when we talked about it is I find a picture of the Atlanta Falcons, whose food items are $1 through $5, drink and food. I show Willie a picture. That picture is also on that ESPN Las Vegas Twitter photo. I show him a picture of Atlanta Falcons concession stand. Everything in the picture is less than like $22 total. And then he starts hyper-analyzing the food. And he's like, oh, that looks like Little League ballpark food. I'm like, it's six items for $22. The slice of pizza, I think that looks okay. The Dude, chicken fingers look delicious.
The only difference is the nachos for the Commanders is in a stadium box that looks like the stadium that took a dump on their fans last year. So
I will admit,
if anything, that makes it should be cheaper.
The nachos are very basic, but what do you want for $3? It's the plastic tin with the little dippy cheese.
Well, I'm sticking up for the Falcons one, though. I think that. That's like, you know, I'm not going to give a free plug, but there's a place that, you know, has food that they've kept at a very low price for their customers for a long time. It's a really big store, you know, a giant store that has a little restaurant in there.
It's like Costco.
Yeah. Oh, so that's what I'm talking about.
No, anyways. They've done a great job over the years.
Yeah, they have like $1.50 hot dog. They stay that way forever. I don't care if it comes in a big, stupid thing that looks like your stadium in a paper
for
box.
30. Nachos for 30.
No, that's dumb.
Update on the meats available. I reached out to one of my DC insiders, Chris Russell, and he said only meats available, brisket or pork.
I'm out.
I mean, if it's like, I guess I should have asked the poundage. If I'm getting like 4 pounds of brisket, properly sliced.
Right.
Right?
If you put
pulls apart, it's juicy.
If you put the brisket in like a giant deli wax paper and just tape it up and I take it home, then yeah, I'll give you $30 for a giant thing
of
brisket.
If you want a deli thing of brisket.
Right. But I'm not
going to throw it on the nachos.
Yeah, I don't care about the nachos cheese at that point.
I want the brisket better be like really good.
Exactly.
Really good brisket.
I want a real brisket.
You know, speaking of that, and I got to send out the message because I got to find out from our Houstonian fans. I was looking up a deli I want to go to in Houston on the UNLV trip. Boy, Jared, and I'm going to turn to Jared, not for any obvious reason. What's your limit on a deli sandwich?
What do you mean? Like limit
is price limit, and then how? Ooh. Like this place?
$12.
No, where are you getting a deli sandwich for $12? Realistic.
A corner store maybe or something.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know.
When's the last time you went to a real deli? You go to any of them?
Oh man, no, not in town. Okay. I would have been 2008 in Manhattan.
Okay, so then at that point we're talking like stack sandwiches.
Yeah,
we could be doing like $25 to $33 probably.
Oh, at least
2008, the market had just crashed, so everyone had blue plate.
The deli sandwiches are about $24 to $29 at this.
It's ridiculous.
Kenny and Ziggy's,
but it doesn't surprise
me. Houston.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, I'm going to ask if the other UNLV broadcasters want to go. So now I'm setting myself. They could be like,
it's kind of like
$26 for a corned beef. By the way, neither one of them talks like that. I don't know why.
That's how I do that
like
all the time too.
Old Jewish deli guy.
Yeah.
Would you like a pickle on the side? Stop.
Pumpernickel.
Stop. Doing accents.
His mama caught him clashes. So I'm gonna go.
Cash. Now you're doing any more?
Yeah. I don't know, man. I think that that's too much money, but it doesn't surprise me, so I guess I would wind up paying it. But that's how we get into this crap, is because we pay it.
Yep, we never stop.
I know.
We're suckers.
It sucks.
And then I'm all I do is talk about prices, and I'm like, man, I saw this deli in a documentary.
Yeah.
Man, for $27. Seems like that corned beef sandwich is,
yeah.
I don't think it's, I can't pass it up.
Or I'll think I saved money, and then I'll go buy three different things I think are cheaper, and it winds up being more money anyway. Like, yeah, than it would have been just to get the stupid prime rib I wanted, or
and
whatever.
That's why I've, for myself, I get anxiety when I'm ordering. There's immense pressure.
Yes, me too.
What is it? I called it fofu when I order, because I'm afraid to order the wrong thing. So I have,
yes,
a fear of effing up.
Me too. I'm the same way.
We both have fofu.
Too many options.
Yet, we're not slimming down.
No, because I keep taking the wrong one. I guess. I
Number
know.
Two. Number two. I swear to God, I watched all the I watched a lot of the talking, you know, the talking head TV shows, sports radio shows, and like Chiron, right?
Yeah.
CD signs with the Cowboys. What could go wrong? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't have a topic. Now, I mean, I will come out of the gates, like all of us morons will do. Like, if CeeDee Lamb had, in the first two games, has like six catches,
yeah,
like 93 yards combined, I'm like, hold in! Jerry screwed it up again! But, like, what else? What else am I going to do? What else? And again, I'll repeat what I said yesterday. This is why I don't get into hold ins or hold outs, although we're going to do like five coming up.
I know. Well, that's what I know. I was going to bring that up too.
I don't want to get suckered into it, but I do. But with CD, what's the downside here?
Well, the signing him, nothing. But the waiting too long.
But
after,
what is that actually?
No, but that's my point. It's like, now it doesn't matter because we talked about it all season. What are they doing? They're so stupid. Jerry's an idiot. And now he signed him. I'm like, oh, all right. Well, I guess that fixes that.
I mean, if CD was, you know, as sedentary as us and,
yeah,
you know, order deli food the whole,
yeah,
time.
Yeah, if he had a chicken stain on his shirt or whatever. Right. Yeah,
if
of
that
course.
Was his whole 6 weeks, right, of holding in, then yeah.
Yeah.
Unless someone has proof of that, I think they're
going to
be okay.
No, he's being fine.
Number one. So this is Jared's story, and I don't know. It's something with LA media people. Hey, maybe he just doesn't like him. Although I did ask you with Bill Plaschke. This was just food for thought on what he wrote. And I'm going to say, I feel like this is what columnists do. But I like that you have a question out of it. You might be a little worked up.
Well, I mean, I just wanted to know because Greg has always said that the greatest basketball player of all time is LeBron James. Have the Lakers failed LeBron James? Has the city of L.A., like, have the Lakers lost out, like,
well,
taken something
away?
The best
thing to do here is, instead of you saying it like that, is to actually read Plaschke.
Because
he's a professional writer. You have what he wrote. Read it! The story's not up. Ready? Plaschke said, if they can't contend for a title in what is surely the final two seasons of James' storied career, then his time here has represented the biggest blown opportunity in the history of Los Angeles sports. That's the way you do it.
Now, I can't tell because I can't afford to read this article, so I can't tell if he's saying that the Lakers screwed up or that they made a mistake getting LeBron. And LeBron screwed up. Like, how did you take it, Jared? Is that
the Lakers got LeBron and then did nothing?
I agree with that.
It's the Lakers' fault.
Yes.
But who are the Lakers at the GM spot?
Well, yeah, Pelinka, whatever. Yeah,
is he?
I guess. Well, Jeannie Buss, I guess. I don't know.
Is she?
It's not LeBron. Are you trying to say it's LeBron?
Rich Paul and LeBron.
How is it Rich Paul and LeBron?
You don't think they have an effect on every move they make?
I guess. I don't think, but I mean, I don't know. I don't think that he has like complete control of the team, like people trying to act. I mean,
Jared's going to put this to the test. If the Lakers don't win the next 2 years, is it the biggest flop in LA sports history? Because he's got like five examples.
Well,
that were.
Can we?
We'll do it on the way back. Field and Company. Salerno's here. You know, we just made the observation. Are we over the Paizon limit here at the station?
It's getting close.
And like half Paizon?
Yeah, we're getting
close. We have a double Vinny. Hey, over there.
Yeah.
We have a double Vinny Raider Nation radio morning show with Sapienza and
Vinny Bonsignore.
Vincenzo B.
Yeah. I know.
And then Clay Baker.
Yeah. Well, Clay sounds like he's from that kind of
Clay's
time.
Clay's looking
though.
Over his shoulder. He's like, where's Salerno? Third man in. I'm
Clay,
out.
Clay sounds like one of those guys, though, from back then. You know, like, you're never going to get me, say. Like one of those guys.
That's actually a pretty good
You're not going to get me, Kappa.
We grew up around those people. You
yes,
people.
Yes, us people. Yeah, he did. He knows.
I'm going to do a prize. Let's get the hell out of this. Right. I think we're going to get in trouble soon.
That's fine.
364-1100, caller 7, 364-1100, Jerry Cantrell, Allison Chains, yeah. Candlebox, Bush.
It's a good one.
Bush, Candlebox, Jerry Cantrell, all playing September 11th, Planet Hollywood, Ticketmaster.com. That's where you can grab your tickets, but caller 7 right now for Jared. Caller 7. Now, we gaffed this right here because Jared was supposed to lead this conversation, but I know what he was going to say.
Mm-hmm.
So while he's answering the phones. So we just started in on Bill Plaschke saying if the Lakers can't win a couple of titles here down the stretch in LeBron's last 2 years, it is, as he put it, the biggest blown opportunity in the history of Los Angeles sports. That can't be correct.
Why?
Because there's been bigger cases in the past where high-level teams – didn't win a title.
Yeah. Well, you can make the case that that Kobe contract, again, the last one, was the worst thing that they've done in a long time because Kobe, you know, RIP, but he never won a playoff series after turning 32 years old.
Do you look at Kobe and Shaq as something that was absolutely irreconcilable? Is that the right word?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I think
that they have worked that out where those two guys could have stayed
together. Yes, of course. Right. And I think that, I don't know. I mean, I don't know who – it's hard to blame in these situations because you're not there. Like, a lot of people from the outside probably have no idea what goes on here between certain people and stuff because, you know, they only see us on air or whatever. So I don't know exactly what their relationship was exactly. I know it wasn't great. A lot of egos involved. But I think I think it looked to me like it was more of Kobe kind of getting on Shaq about his health and then, you know, not being in shape or something. It seemed like a lot of his comments were about that kind of crap. And Shaq kind of wanting to be the Batman and wanted Kobe to be his Robin, and it just kind of wasn't working out that way.
So what we're doing here is doing what columnists wanted to do, want us to do, and that's react to
right
something that is way over the top. So LeBron not winning a title these last 2 years, as the LA columnist says, LA Times columnist, the biggest blown opportunity in the history of Los Angeles sports. It's kind of stupid because I find me one person on record when AD and LeBron were hooked up together with the Lakers that said they're going to win the next five titles.
Nobody.
I think we believe they could win some championships.
Yeah.
So is it what? They don't win a second? That's the biggest blown opportunity. There's been so many great teams and superstars together in Los Angeles over the years. There have been other cases. Jared, do you want me to read these or do you want to do it? Jared listed, is it worse than the Clippers destroying Lob City? Is it worse than the Kings failing to win a Stanley Cup with Wayne Gretzky? Is it worse than most recently USC failing to play for a national title with Caleb Williams? And you can also throw in recent Dodger times, an absolute evil empire with unlimited money. They've won all these division championships. And then I'll give Jared credit here because I might snap on him, but that's what he wants. Winning a championship with a short season title. That's what the Dodgers did with all these division championships. So are those bigger blown opportunities than the Lakers right now with LeBron and AD?
Well, you got to put the LeBron thing in the context, too, though. People are acting like LeBron's, you know, 27 years old. I mean, he's even when he got there, if you look back, what was he, 37, maybe 36, something
that,
like that at the time?
That, too.
So, I mean, a lot of these guys, you know, Jordan was at Pechanga smoking cigars by the time he was this age. So to act like he's expected to win a championship every year when he's this old, I mean, it didn't look like they really tried very hard either. I mean, there was opportunities to get players that, again, we don't know always what goes on, but the reports are they didn't want to, you know, part with first-round picks to get certain players when they could have gotten them that might have helped them. I don't know. Whose fault is that? I don't think that's LeBron's fault.
Jared, your story, your take.
I'm just saying that if you watch what LeBron did in the Olympics, and if you get him people, and yes, it's an all-star team, I understand, but he won MVP. Like, it wasn't like,
right.
It wasn't him being like, all right, I got to, it was him being like, oh, if you get me some people, I can still do some things at 40 whatever years old.
But you do understand what I was saying 5 minutes ago before we went to break. The person who gets people in LA is LeBron and Rich Paul.
I don't agree with that.
They're the GMs.
I don't agree with that because they don't have controls over the picks. You have to give something up. Can't just be like, hey, I'm LeBron, come here. I mean, they have to give something up.
They have control. What an arrogant ass the way I responded.
No, I mean, I don't know. I feel like they have control as far as PR-wise. They can say, hey, I want this guy, and they'll try to get him. But they can't make the deal. Like, they cannot. If it's two first-round picks on the line or whatever it is, LeBron cannot make them do it. I don't know what he could do.
Well, I think he can.
Well, then I don't know why he didn't.
Because he doesn't know what he's doing.
Well, I mean, why didn't...
And Rich Paul has this undue influence on the entire NBA because they think they know what they're doing in terms of team building. Let the GM do the GMing.
I think they did, and I think he sucks, but that's just me.
You think Pelinka sucks?
Yes.
Yet, when Pelinka and company go into the NBA draft, consistently they've actually been really good in the NBA draft. So they're good on personnel decisions in the NBA draft, getting all these young guys that have set up at least some of the acquisitions.
I guess. Who have they drafted that was great, though?
You don't think Austin Reeves was a nice pickup?
Yeah, he's all right.
Now, Lonzo Ball hasn't come back yet.
He's okay.
He's playing pretty decent.
Brandon Ingram's okay. These are all okay players. They're not like, you know.
Hart in the past has been, he's turned into a pretty good player.
I guess. I mean, whatever. Yeah. I don't know.
I'm not going to sit here and fight over the draft.
I mean, I know. But like D'Lo was one of the picks, but that was when Magic Johnson was there.
I don't want to. That's not my evidence. I'm not a Russell fan. Sorry.
I'm not either. I'm not a Russell that's my fan point. Yeah. But that was actually Magic Johnson anyway, I think. But still. I don't know.
I got to flip the football. So we've got another year. And I think it's like 34 straight years. It's something like 18 straight years of Westgate and talking about their super contest. They've got a great super contest. 34 years of the super contest. 5 picks against the spread. Got to get in by September 7th. Prizes quarterly. Winner last year got $206,000.
Damn.
There's only been, I think, one back-to-back winner. That was our guy Fezzik. It's a good contest. Down at the legendary Westgate. And the other cool thing is we're there for Football Central. So I want to make it official that back again on Sunday mornings will be the JVT Sunday Football Preview Show. It's a long name. Say it together. The JVT Sunday Football Preview Show.
I can't say all that. No,
JVT Sunday Football Preview Show.
Can I say JT?
JVT.
I know, but John Von Tobel. I know who he is.
Don't mistake JT with JVT.
No, I didn't mean that. I'm just saying shorten it would be.
They're two different people.
I understand.
Okay. The JVT. What do you want to do? John Von Tobel Sunday.
Well, can I just do JV then? Because the JVT is too many. My brain can't handle it.
I will tell you, when the copy was sent over, Von Tobel's been here since 2013. It was written JTV. It happens. People type quickly. Okay?
Yeah. No, that's true.
John Von Tobel's back. He'll be out there from 8A to 10A leading into the Sunday football slate. The show was awesome. He's great. You can hear him over on our sister stations, Raider Nation Radio 920, and I just blanked on the game, 1230. They have VSIN programming on there, but John is back in a more regular role on Sunday morning, so we're excited about that one. All right, best fake, most bullcrap story that we've been having. We don't have to talk about this, but we've been fed repeatedly during the NFL offseason. We just saw CeeDee Lamb sign.
Yes.
Okay, that one's done. Do you believe that it is the Steelers quarterback battle?
No.
No. Well, you asked a question. Did the Steelers bamboozle everyone with the fake QB battle?
Yeah, they did. I mean, well, here's the thing is, there's people that like I actually respect and think are very smart people who were so sold on this Justin Fields thing that
right there.
Like, yeah.
This close.
I know. I never understood it. And I'd never seen the guy. I mean, he's very, very athletic. Don't get me wrong. But the passing part of it has never really been very good. He's also got problems with fumbling. I don't know. I didn't think there was any question at all who the starter was going to be from the beginning. But
is that worse than Brandon Ayuk trade rumors for 5 weeks?
I don't know.
I hate the story so much.
I know, me too. But at least the Ayuk story was real because he actually was doing weird things and posting things about Jaden Daniels on Twitter and doing stuff. This was kind of just completely made up. I mean,
worse than Rashi Rice is going to be suspended for a long time. Could still happen.
Could.
But nothing's happened yet. Come on, Raj.
They're saying now that the Chiefs signed Juju, that might be a sign they know something's coming. I don't know, though. Juju, I don't know if like that is any correlation whatsoever. He's kind of like not, you know, he's not a standout anymore, really. So I don't know, but could be. They need a body because they know that something's coming. But if it hasn't happened yet, who knows? I know it's wishy-washy. But
Ja'Marr Chase, is this a real story? Not playing.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
I'm going to be out there until I get my contract extended.
It's the same thing with the – we already had the CeeDee Lamb one.
I'll give you one.
Yeah.
I this guy is very truculent. He's very serious.
Yeah,
trying to think
what
kind of
word
he,
is that?
Didn't he
what does that mean?
Didn't he almost beat the crap out of Dick Sherman? Trent Williams, when Big Trent says something, I believe Trent Williams. No contract adjustment, no Trent Williams for the Niners.
That's huge. If it's real, that's probably one of the most.
One's the most real.
He's probably the closest thing you can get to an MVP and be a lineman.
Yes.
I think, like in the league.
Brock Purdy's like, please.
Yes. Yeah.
Please. I will pass on a few million in my new contract. Please get him the money.
Can you explain that word you said to me off air? Because I don't know what that means.
Oh, okay, thanks. Salerno, Cofield, Jared, halfway point of the show. We come back. Do I talk about condoms or something else?
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
We got Sammy G coming up, Sammy Ivanovich, Fox Sports, and somewhere else. I can't announce it yet. He's going to announce it. He's doing a radio show now 5 days a week. That's coming up in less than 5 minutes. Greg has encountered what you've already seen this happen on the arena when the mic just falls off the arm.
I always forget.
Yep.
Last time it fell on Doug's chest when we were doing the middle of the arena. Yeah.
I know Jared is very afraid of this man, but there you go. There you go. There's another. That's another one of the legacy moments that's going to last for a long time from Mr. Jamie. Booby trap Mike at any moment. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You're a big guy. You're a big guy. Okay. Sammy P is usually like an uplifting spot. I mean, I don't know. Do I go full Casey Kasem? Remember Casey Kasem yelling about the G-damn death dedication?
Oh, that was so right? good.
Right,
the dog, it was a dog one, right? It was a dog?
Every time I said, gee, death coming out of it, going in there, all right. You guys were like just, I don't know what it was, consumed with death. I put it in the rundown, and I'm like, you know what? We haven't talked about condoms yet. Tell me no one else has noticed this in the Lotus parking lot.
Wait, what?
I said this yesterday at one point. I walked out into the parking lot and I noticed an empty thing, condoms, and I went, well, at least they were safe. Like, at least they're using a condom.
I was just going to say that. I'm actually surprised somebody was using a condom around here.
So, one thing, what kind of box was it?
It was Magnums.
It was Magnum. And then someone, I don't know who disposed of it, the used condom was there.
Okay.
So, we could have taken this in for DNA and then had the women in admin, I guess, I don't know who would watch it. They would roll the film.
Yeah.
Do we think it was someone at Lotus?
No.
Is someone rocking a freaking tree trunk?
Well.
And would they doink someone in the parking lot?
I mean.
With cameras? Would they
know.
Do it to put some.
I'm not going to say anything because you're going to think I'm trying to be.
As we would say in the football world, were they trying to put something on tape?
You mean like they threw that down to try to make it look like they used that size? Is that what you're saying?
No, I think maybe someone was like, hey, we can doink it out
in
the parking lot. But I'm joking. I don't think they know there's video cameras everywhere.
Yeah, I don't think.
I think we're being recorded in the parking lot all the time.
Yeah, we are.
No, we are.
So absolutely.
I go in the car. I'm like friggin' Pesci and De Niro in Casino where I'm like in the car.
Yeah, right.
With my hand on my mouth.
I change cars three times before I leave.
That's a great one. That's one of the greatest things ever in a movie. Just going from garage to garage. And then you're on a park bench. You're covering your mouth.
Right.
Like, what? This is how we got to communicate? Yep. So do we think someone used the big boy condom?
Yeah.
Or was this for show? Or by the way, is it just the neighborhood, which this isn't a bad neighborhood?
I've seen some things.
Oh, you have? I've
seen a congregation of people that, you know, by the wall over there hanging out that don't work here. And I've been here on weekends. I come in a lot on weekends to do like voice track or whatever. If I forget something, or we have a coworker, I don't know, whatever. I won't go into details, but I see people hanging out. So I'm assuming it was one of those people. I think they.
Wait, you can't assume.
Well,
just some rando people are hanging out in the parking lot. Yep, now they're blanking.
Well, I don't think
lot.
It was anybody here. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think any.
Based on what?
Yeah.
Well, the type of condom or like.
No, not the type.
The freedom to.
Because I know for a fact we have people that use that type here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The freedom to doink in a parking lot.
That. I don't think anybody's going to, you know, go out there and start banging somebody in the parking lot here, number one. Two, I'm not 100% sure if somebody would use a condom that works here.
That's the part you don't find believable.
That's awesome. I hadn't thought of that. We have a lot of non-safe sexers.
Yeah.
You know that for a fact.
Yeah.
That's quite the allegation to throw out. You know that.
74%. No, I don't know. I just made that. But
I'm gonna put this claim down. I will say it was definitely – it could have been someone here. I don't think it was two people from here, but I'm also taking a leap of faith. This was a place, from what I hear, going way back before I was here, and I got here in 2004, that going back maybe 20 years to into the early 2010s, as I put it, I think there was a lot of cross-pollination within the building.
Yeah, well, I know for a fact.
I think that has stopped over the years, but I don't know.
Well, a lot of married people here, though. That's why another reason why I don't think they'd be using
it. Oh, okay, yeah. Well, changes everything, of course.
No, I mean, like, the condom part, because they have kids. And well, I guess if you're married, though, and they're not your spouse, then you use a condom. I don't know.
Or, Jared, we could talk about the woman who died at Burning Man. What would you like to do? Well, we're out of time. So, the decision was made. That right there, I think squeezing it into 4:12 was a lot better than letting it run amok. And by the way, we need to find out truculent. Maybe we'll ask Sammy P what truculent means.
Okay, let's find out.
Very smart.
Mm-hmm. Sports gambling insider Sammy P joins Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
So I'll just tell you the history of Cofield and Company over the years. It happened with Damon, who's now over at VSiN. We talk a lot of betting, so eventually everyone on the show becomes some sort of degenerate.
Yeah.
And I think we've swung you. I introduced the Little League World Series odds to you last week.
Yes.
It was supposed to be like a 5-second hit, and you're going to be like, that's gross, betting on the Little League World Series. You responded today saying you did hit Florida.
I did. 6-1. Told you.
You did it.
You know? I mean, I knew going in. I mean, when you have Chase Anderson, Lathan Norton, and Hunter and Alexander on the same team, you can't go wrong. So.
Sam Penny Ottavison with Sam. How about Greg Salerno? Converted. Little League World Series better.
The only question is now, how do we spin it forward? We need a pick for Monday when Chestnut takes on Kobayashi. What do you got for us there, Greg?
Oof. I'm going to go Chestnut.
Well, we have odds.
So -1,000 favorite.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Is there a hot dog? Is there a hot dog spread? I haven't had a chance to check this.
No spread, but a total for Chestnut, 62.5, and the total for Kobayashi, 49.5.
Wow. I told you the rules, right?
I thought it was just 10 minutes.
You can't dunk the buns. Got to eat the regular bun.
Oh.
As far as I know, that was the rules I saw last week. To me, that makes a big difference, and that's why it's down at 62.5 and not Chestnut's career high, I think it's 73 or 74.
76, I thought.
Okay. But you got to eat the bun. You can't dip it.
Now, do you think
Kobayashi could really flame out?
Yeah.
Bad.
I agree.
Well, I think he's got health issues. I don't think he's healthy coming into this.
Hamstring or?
No, he actually retired briefly, but then I thought it was a work. He announced his retirement. He has no appetite and he's got jaw issues. What? We're going to break this down or not? What are you looking at me like?
No.
I
didn't know if he really said that or not.
Serious stuff. No, he did.
Right. So what's the natural progression from condoms to jaw issues? What's next?
That's pretty good, dude. Can we expect more of that on your new radio show?
No, we will not be discussing jaw issues. We did talk hot dogs today.
Okay.
No condoms.
What's the total on condoms we find in the parking lot before October?
Yeah, we're having a tough time here. We got to clean this, not the
I'm
show
sorry.
Up, the parking
I'm
lot
sorry.
Up.
You're right. It's my
So right. The problem is, if an email comes out, you'll get more because people will just start leaving condoms in the alley.
That's a good point.
Yeah. So I'd make the number.
Are you really going to do it?
October 1 or October 31?
Let's go October 1 because, you know, the rest of the month, who knows what's going to happen? It's crazy. It's Halloween, you know.
5.5.
Okay.
Okay.
That's a solid number.
It is.
I think it's inaccurate because, to my knowledge, this is the first time. We found one, but I'm never here, so I don't know why I'm coming off as an expert around Lotus Broadcast.
Do they have to be found, or can it be on tape that somebody else cleaned it up? Like, does it have to be left out there?
I don't know. This is why
just
rules are important.
Check your house rules.
Yeah. Okay.
We need the house rules.
Yeah.
All right, Sam, we'll tell people where you're on. It's 5 days a week, and this is very exciting. You guys had a good lineup. Now it's powerhouse.
So I am doing the 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. morning show. On Odyssey. Odyssey has the BetQL Network, which is sponsored by BetMGM. So Joe Ostrowski and I, who actually founded Chicken Dinner in 2016, the podcast, we are now back together hosting Monday through Friday. It's been fun. It's only been 2 days, but it's like two old friends just chopping it up like we never left.
I love it. Chemistry is key. You know that. Chemistry is very key in radio. Sometimes it's not there. College football games. Here we go. Week one. By the way, week zero for some was very difficult. Yesterday we talked about a dude over at Barstool who actually produced an 0-8 card in four games. That's That's pretty mind-boggling.
Ooh.
Let's go with what do we got on Minnesota and North Carolina?
First bet I made this week, I laid 1 and 1.5 with the Tar Heels. I'm hearing about some injuries at Minnesota, potentially the starting running back and one of their better receivers unlikely to play. Circa has 1.5. South Point has 2. Superbook has 2.5. Where are we going to go? We're going to lay the best number. I like the -1.5 at Circa. And this total got blasted today. It was 51.5 down to about 49 at Pinnacle offshore. So some money on the Heels and some money on the under today.
Big number between Georgia and Clemson. Neutral? Not really. It's in Atlanta. Is Georgia this good or is Clemson this overrated?
I think the perception says Georgia is going to win a national championship and Clemson still doesn't know what the transfer portal is. The truth is probably in the middle. Now, Georgia is one of the best teams in the country. Obviously, it goes Oregon, Georgia, Ohio State, Texas in a lot of the power ratings from the professionals. I think Georgia is going to struggle to put Clemson away. Clemson has actually gotten some better pass catchers over the last couple of years. And defensively, their secondary is very, very good. Georgia's not going to run them over, guys. I think that's Georgia's recipe every week. We're going to run it down your throat. And if you can't stop us, we're going to just keep doing it. Well, Clemson's got NFL bodies in the front seven. So this number is starting to move even lower. 13 offshore at a couple of really respected books. This has never been to 14. You notice that, Steve. It's just under that key number of 14, which tells you there's some built-in respect for the dog.
Sammy, what about Texas A&M and Notre Dame? What are we looking at there?
I'd take 3. You know, this open pick'em in the summer, A&M's the home team. Some books open 1. But the fact that we're out to 3 here against a very good Notre Dame defense, especially a Notre Dame D-line that is going to give A&M fits – a lot of changes at A&M, new head coach, new quarterback, and I think a lot of people are just looking at 2 things. 1, it's Notre Dame, and Notre Dame loves a choke, and 2, it's the SEC against Notre Dame. But that's lazy handicapping here. I think this game should be a pick 'em, flip a coin. So if you made me bet it, I would take the 3 with the Irish.
Sammy P, we're talking to here. I want to ask you, so Steve brought this word up in the last break that I have no idea what he's talking about. He said a word. I'm going to ask you 2 things, actually. This and the Miami, Florida. But I want to ask you this first. He said the word truculent. Now, to me, I don't know. My mind goes to, like, savory food or something. I don't know exactly what he's saying. So what do you think that means? Or what? Can you tell me?
That is succulent, Greg.
Yeah, see, that's what I was
succulent
thinking.
Succulent is food. truculent, I believe, is looking for a fight.
Oh. Okay, is that right, Steve?
Or
is that
aggressive? Like you're ready to drop at any point.
That was perfect. Eager or quick to argue or fight. Aggressively defiant.
Oh.
Greg's like a nice steak.
All right, Miami, Florida.
How do I follow that up? Can you use it in a sentence?
You can use it with Cristobal.
Yeah.
Mario Cristobal was quite truculent after he screwed up the end of one of the games last year.
I think Mario gets an unfair rap. Look, he's made some really bad blunders over his career, but he's also built up 2 massive programs. Oregon isn't what it is right now without Mario building it up. And now Dan Lanning, of course, is the head coach. Miami's got more talent than any team in the ACC. I saw this bet today, too, in Florida. $12,000 bet on Miami to win the whole thing. $612,000 on the payout.
Wow.
Now, I wouldn't be watching Mario Cristobal highlights after making that bet. But I do think Miami is good enough, deep enough, talented enough to beat Florida week 1. I'm going to take the Canes to stamp a very big win to get the season going. I think they're good enough to win the ACC, make the playoff, but in terms of winning the whole thing, maybe not.
We have some interesting baseball betting races going on right now, and I saw this number change a lot the last week or so. I kind of don't get it. Do you really believe that Jackson Merrill is the right guy for Rookie of the Year in the National League over Paul Skeens?
Not right now, but the way it's trending, I think the books are on defense. Remember, okay, you go back to the beginning of April, Paul Skeens was -5,000 to win the Rookie of the Year in the National League. -5,000. Well, Jackson Merrill's now the favorite. Minus 160, minus 180. One book has minus 200. Two things are working against Skeens. Merrill plays every day, and he's basically leading all rookies in clutch hits and RBIs after the seventh inning. He hit a walk-off home run the other day. I think it was Sunday night, a big walk-off, to win for a team that's in a playoff hunt. Number two, what happens in a week or 10 days when Pittsburgh's looks, Pittsburgh looks, the feedback is awful in my ears, by the way. I'm powering through it. The Pittsburgh organization could look at him and go, you're done. We've had enough.
Yeah.
You had a good season. You're at your innings count. We are not going to force you to pitch two or three more times. So I think the fear of them shutting down Skeens, along with the money that's come in on Merrill over the last 3 weeks, that has basically gotten us to our current point.
You got, and we're talking to Sam Panayotovich from BetQL, Monday to Friday show now with Odyssey, and also expert for Fox Sports on the gambling front. You caught a bad break with the number one pick in fantasy football, which in the past you'd be like, yeah, great, this is great. But right now the number one pick is so uncertain because of so many holdouts and injury issues.
I'm not too concerned about holdouts. Jamar Chase will be there. Obviously, CeeDee Lamb just signed a contract today. Everybody tells me, well, not everybody, but most people say you got to take a running back one. I disagree. Receivers are more valuable to me. And Christian McCaffrey has been ran into the ground the last 2 years in San Francisco. I'm going to take, I haven't decided yet. I have about 20 minutes to figure it out.
Yeah.
I'm either going Jamar Chase or CeeDee Lamb.
Really? I might consider Tyreek Hill.
I had Tyreek Hill to win the MVP last year at 125-1. And then he rolled his ankle in week 14. So maybe I'm just a little bit jaded by Tyreek Hill. Maybe that's fair.
Is there anything?
I mean, I don't think you can go wrong with any of them. Hill, Lamb, Chase, maybe not Jefferson.
Jefferson,
because
yes.
You got Sam Darnold throwing him the football.
That's the
but
problem.
Of those big three receivers, you probably can't go wrong.
You know, I skip past the baseball story. I usually like to go in order, but
who cares? It's football season.
Is there any money left to be made on the White Sox at 31-101?
Oh, I bet against them today.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Their ace is on the mound, Garrett Crochet. He keeps these lines so low. And, Steve, he hasn't gone deeper than four innings in eight starts. I don't know how that isn't picked up. He's not going to go deep into this game. So you look at a Ranger team, minus 130, minus 132 tonight in Chicago. Garrett Crochet is going to go into the fifth inning, maybe. And the White Sox will then give it to the worst bullpen in the American League. 5.10. That is the bullpen ERA on the south side of Chicago. How do you bet them? How?
You don't, or you keep playing against them because it's been a moneymaker. I mean, we've said it all year. They're dreadful. They're dreadful, and the worst part for them is there's not even really a whole lot of hope in terms of building blocks, in terms of young talent. So it's pretty sad, and yet your guy Jerry Reinsdorf's like, money, 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 so I can get my new stadium. See how that works.
I'm at the point where I just want them to be so bad they move the team to Boca Raton, like in Major League. We've been losing. What I want is to finish dead last.
All right, Sammy, good luck with the new show. Again, remind people where they can hear it and the time slot.
Easiest place, just go on X at BetQL Daily, D-A-I-L-Y, not to be confused with BetQL Succulent.
See you, Sam. Thanks for dealing with the echo. We'll see you, buddy.
See you guys.
There he is.
Thanks, man.
Sam Panayotovich.
Good stuff.
Yes. Oh, football handicaps were pretty solid.
All right.
My I have a bunch of picks this week. I'll give you one. If you're lucky, I'll give you one. No.
Okay.
No, last week I told everyone New Mexico against Montana State was a little out of control. Montana State, an FCS school, was laying 13.5, 14 at New Mexico. New Mexico blew the game. They should have won it. They wound up losing by four. I think Michigan State is going to have a tough time coming out of the gates, rebuilding their program after Mel Tucker did what he did. So I like Florida Atlantic plus 14.